Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor when she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through, and keeping their delicate skin happy and healthy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick, goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable as the diaper rash itself. Use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel good about making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra premium formula for moms who will not settle when it comes to their little ones. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with simple, quality ingredients, no artificial dyes or preservatives, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Head to Amazon.com or Walmart.com to grab Dr. Mom Butt Balm because nothing comes between you and your baby, especially not diaper rash. In this birth story episode, you're going to hear about a successful unmedicated vaginal birth after labor induction. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 263. Whether this is your first time listening or you have listened before, I am so glad you are spending some time with me today. In today's episode, we have Erica. Erica was born and raised in the Bay Area in California. She's been married to her college sweetheart for almost 9 years, and they welcomed their rainbow baby boy in 2023. When she is not busy running her business as a professional portrait photographer, you can find her at the local park or pool with her son, Ariel. Her passions include traveling to new places, hosting movie nights at home, and eating whatever delicious meal her husband whips up for them. I love that. I do the same around my house. Now, Erica experienced 2 miscarriages prior to the pregnancy and birth that we're going to hear about. And after over a year and a half of trying to have their first baby, their prayers were answered in May of 2022. They actually waited until she was 4 months pregnant just to be certain to announce the pregnancy. And unlike with the miscarriages, those heartbreaking pregnancies, this entire pregnancy was completely normal. She had no nausea, no sickness, no pain, nothing that made her believe she was pregnant. It almost actually felt too easy, and she's going to talk about that in the episode. Now, at 38 weeks, some things did develop that caused her doctor to be concerned and recommend labor induction. You're going to hear why in the episode. She did have a successful labor induction, and after 21 hours of unmedicated labor, her sweet son was born. You are going to learn all about it and hear this beautiful story in this great episode. Before we get into the episode, I do want to share something with you. If you are not part of the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle community on Facebook, you definitely want to join. The community has over 1,000 folks in it, and it's a great place to drop questions, to get feedback, not just from me, but from other pregnant mamas, from people who are postpartum about their experiences, the things that they've gone through. It's a lovely, supportive, wonderful, open community. You can get to it in facebook.com/groups/ Dr. Nicole Rankins, or you can just search All About Pregnancy and Birth on Facebook and you can find the link there. Okay, let's get into the birth story episode with Erica. Thank you so much, Erica, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I'm really excited to hear your birth story today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share it.
Yeah, so why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your family?
Of course. So I am a wedding photographer and portrait photographer. I got married to my husband 8 years ago.
Okay.
And we've been together for 11 years now. We actually met in college. So he's my college sweetheart.
Aww.
We both went to UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And we studied film and digital media there.
Uh-huh.
We now live in Livermore, which is just east of San Francisco. And we have a one-year-old son.
Okay. All right. And we are going to hear about his birth story today. Now, I know that before you gave birth to your son, you had two miscarriages. Can you briefly, and that kind of informs, I think, how things went with your pregnancy. So can you share a little bit about your experiences with those?
Of course. I love sharing my experience about that. It's actually gotten a lot easier to tell that story because I've told it so many times.
Right.
But I had two miscarriages. Both happened within the same year.
Okay.
It was in 2021. The first time I got pregnant, it was early 2021, and it was actually a surprise. We weren't trying to get pregnant at the time, but we also weren't really doing anything to not get pregnant.
Right,
we
always
said, like, if it happens, it'll happen.
Right.
So yeah, it was a surprise, and we got really excited about it. I didn't have an OB at the time. I was only seeing like my primary physician.
Uh-huh.
So I gave his office a call. He had me come in that same day and take a test and confirmed I was pregnant. We went through him to get an OB referral.
Okay.
But I ended up having to search for my own OB through my insurance to find someone closer to me. And then I found one, but after that experience, I was not happy with that doctor.
Okay.
And so I, throughout my, that those few weeks of pregnancy, I actually only saw her once.
Okay. What didn't you like about her?
So it was a private office. I didn't feel like she gave me her full attention while I was there, especially the day that I went in about the miscarriage.
Right.
She was just on her phone. I understand she had other patients too and clients, but I just didn't feel like I had her attention.
Gotcha.
And she didn't do ultrasounds in office.
Okay.
So I had to go to a separate clinic to have that ultrasound done. And I was at 13 weeks and I was barely going to go see my baby in an ultrasound for the first time. So when I went into that appointment to get that ultrasound done, I knew there was something wrong right away. You can tell like when they're doing the scan, just you can tell by their face.
Sure.
And they asked me, how far along are you? And I told them I should be almost 13 weeks now.
Okay.
And then they just went silent, didn't say anything.
Okay.
So then a doctor came in right after and they told me, are you sure you have your calculations right? Because the fetus that we're seeing is measuring much smaller, about 9 weeks long. And I told him, yeah, that's not possible because I went into my physician,
right?
You know, almost 13 weeks ago or, you know, at that time it would have been 13 weeks.
Sure.
So they said, okay, well, we're going to contact your doctor. So they'll call you with more information, more results. I remember driving home crying. I was so upset because I knew there was something wrong.
Right.
And of course, as soon as I got home, my doctor called and told me, oh, it doesn't look too well. You can expect a miscarry within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Give me a call if you start bleeding or if you feel discomfort, let me know. 1 week later, I did end up starting to bleed.
Okay.
And then I remember texting her because she did give me her cell phone number. Told me, text me if something happens. And a couple hours had passed and I didn't hear from her. So then my husband ended up taking me to the emergency room because I hadn't stopped bleeding and I was in pain. Looking back now, I know that, you know, I was having contractions, but I didn't know that at the time.
Sure.
So then, I went to the emergency room and they confirmed that I had had a miscarriage already.
Okay.
So that's what had happened. And when I went in to see the doctor for a follow-up, like I mentioned that I didn't have her attention. She was just on her cell phone the whole time while she was there supposed to be like comforting me and talking to me.
Right.
So it just was not a good experience. I just did not feel good about it.
Okay. Okay.
So 6 months later, I got pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I decided, okay, I need to find a different doctor. So okay. I contacted my insurance, and I was able to find another OB through Sutter Health.
Okay.
So they have, you know, their big building facility here locally, and they have multiple OBs within the building. So I was assigned to one OB, and I made my appointment for when I would have been 8 weeks along.
Okay.
And then, of course, I didn't make it to that appointment because at 7 weeks, I started bleeding again.
Okay.
I ended up going to urgent care that weekend because it was a weekend and mm-hmm. her office was closed. Mm-hmm. But a couple of days later, went into her office. She did an ultrasound and confirmed there was no heartbeat. So okay. then she said, you're going to miscarry again, unfortunately.
Okay.
And she had already known my history because I'd already informed them about it.
Right.
And she saw how distraught that my husband, Miguel, and I were.
Right.
So she offered to run some blood tests to see if there's anything like that she could see.
Right.
And she even offered to refer me to a fertility specialist okay. if I wanted to get further answers.
Okay. okay.
So we did do that. My blood test came back normal. And she said, I don't see anything wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I just think it was, you know, unfortunately, just another bad luck.
Right.
But she did say, if I wanted more answers, contact the fertility specialist. So I did.
Okay.
We had a video consult with that doctor.
Okay.
And they told me, you know, we would have to do a surgical procedure to check to see if there's something in your uterus. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a blockage. So right. something's going on in there. And we found out that our insurance wouldn't cover that. So we would have to pay out of pocket if mm-hmm. we wanted to do that.
Right.
After that, my husband and I talked about it and we decided, let's just keep trying naturally. Okay. Let's just see if we can try again.
Right.
And, we opted not to go that route.
Okay.
And prior to starting our family, we had actually discussed the possibility of adoption.
Okay.
So we even said, like, if you can't get pregnant naturally, then, you know, it's our sign. Maybe we should look into adoption instead.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So that happened. And then 6 months later, it was funny that they happened both all six right. months apart. 6 months later, I ended up getting pregnant again, and okay. that's the one that stuck.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And did you go back to the same doctor you had the second time?
Yes. Okay. I was much more happy with her, the okay. way she was comforting and actually seemed like she cared.
Right.
I felt more comfortable going back to her, so I did. She had also mentioned to me at that second pregnancy visit, she told me, send me a message if you do get pregnant again. Mm-hmm. We could also try some progesterone.
Okay.
Maybe that's something that could help.
Sure.
So then when I did get pregnant again, I did send her a message, and she prescribed me, what was it called? Prometrium.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. So she prescribed me Prometrium right at the start of that pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
So I had to take that for the first trimester.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Okay. All right. So this sounded like a better experience then. So then at what point did you go in for an ultrasound with that pregnancy?
So I was closer to 9 weeks when I was able to go in.
Uh-huh.
I saw the same doctor, and she told me that she didn't see any reason for me to miscarry this time. She said, okay. everything looks good. I found a heartbeat.
Okay.
Measuring at the rate they should be.
Right,
so
right.
she reassured me. She made me feel a lot better about okay. it. So we left happy, smiling for the first time ever. It was like our first
right.
positive ultrasound experience right. that we've had.
Having a baby can feel overwhelming and exhausting, and that can lead to feelings of disconnect from your partner. Well, I have got something to help. It's called Paired. It's an app for couples who want to strengthen their relationship. It was founded on the simple belief that real lasting love is a daily practice. All of Paired's content is backed by experts and relationship therapists, and it's proven to work. So how exactly does it work? Well, you and your partner download the app Pair Together, and every day Paired gives you personalized questions, quizzes, and games to stay connected, deepen your conversations, and have fun too. The best part is that you cannot see your partner's answers until you answer yourself. So it's a safe space to have an open and honest discussion about your relationship. No faking, no pretending, just genuine connection. Now, one of the key benefits from using Paired daily is that it helps you make that time to connect with your partner on a regular basis, and it doesn't have to be complicated in order to do so. Now, my husband Falcon and I are pretty private, so I'm not going to share any juicy details of our relationship, but I can tell you that using this app has been helpful to get us to connect more regularly, open up more, and even learn new things about each other, even though we've been married for 18 years. So whether you're just a few dates in or have been together a long time, like we have, find the time to connect with your partner and nourish your relationship. With the Paired app, it's easy and fun, and it only takes 5 minutes a day. Head to paired.com/Dr. Nicole to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to paired.com/Dr. Nicole to sign up today. What was your pregnancy and prenatal care like? You had some interesting feelings about your pregnancy.
Yeah. So with prenatal care, I continued to see that doctor. It was a big office. Of course, they had other OBs. Sure. So she did tell me if by chance I'm not available or I'm on call at the hospital and you need to come in, there's other doctors here that could see you. Okay. There was also a nurse practitioner that I think I saw once.
Okay.
And which everybody there was great. I never had a bad experience with any of them there.
Okay, good.
I also was seeing a chiropractor.
Okay.
And it was the same chiropractor that my husband sees because my husband has back issues.
Gotcha.
So we knew him already. Uh-huh. He already knew our story or, our experience.
Got it.
He wanted to help me feel a little bit better. And I do think that helped as well.
Awesome.
But overall, my pregnancy was great. I didn't experience any nausea, uh-huh. any morning sickness,
right.
food aversions.
Right.
I had a very positive experience with my pregnancy,
okay.
which did help make me feel like, this is too good to be true.
Uh-huh.
Is this going to last?
Right.
Is this going to be like this the whole time?
Right.
Am I getting my hopes up?
Right.
So
right.
I did have those thoughts, of course, especially in the first trimester.
Sure. Yeah. Did you feel like you felt, I'm sure you felt some relief at that first appointment. Did you also feel relief when you started feeling movement?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, it didn't happen until much later.
Sure.
I think I was closer to like 25 weeks.
Okay.
When I first felt movement. So up until then, I was just, nervous the
right.
whole time.
Right.
Like, oh,
right.
is there anything in there? Baby,
right.
are you there?
Right.
But every appointment I had up until then, I did get an ultrasound because I guess that was considered like higher risk in a sense because
sure.
I've already had two miscarriages.
Okay.
So the doctor did do an ultrasound at each visit just to make sure things were looking good.
Okay.
And that was reassuring for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Good. So what did you do to prepare for your birth?
So I listened to your podcast.
Okay.
That's kind of where I started. And I think I started listening to your podcast like from my first pregnancy.
Okay.
So it was further back that I had begun.
Right.
It was very helpful, I think, hearing other birth stories.
Uh-huh.
Just gave me a positive outlook that
sure.
I'm going to get there one day. I'm going to be able to get pregnant again.
Right.
So then after listening to your podcast and being pregnant for a few months now, I ended up buying your birth prep course.
Okay.
So I love that. That was helpful in creating my birth wishes. I loved it. My husband and I watched it together.
Awesome.
And there was one other on YouTube, another channel. Her name was Bridget Taylor.
Oh.
She has some videos on YouTube that
okay.
I found helpful as well on breathing,
uh-huh.
how to manage pain
right.
through labor. I found her page to be very helpful as well.
Okay. I'm not familiar with her. I have to look her up. I always like to look for different resources to share with folks. So I'll definitely have to look her up. Well, I'm glad y'all, I didn't pay her to say that about my resources, but I am very glad that you found them helpful.
Yes. Thank you. We are grateful.
Alrighty, yeah.
I also continued working out the whole time. I was doing Orange Theory Fitness.
Oh, yes.
I had actually started doing that before I got pregnant
uh-huh.
that last time.
Uh-huh.
I had started. So I do think that having that regular workout did
mm-hmm.
help a
yeah.
lot with relieving stress,
yep.
making myself healthy
yeah.
to
yeah.
prepare for the pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I started them before and I stuck with them until the very end.
Okay.
I actually had to go in after I left labor and delivery, after I left the hospital
right.
to go pause my account
okay.
because I was still on their roll sheet there.
Gotcha.
I had to tell them, sorry, I gave birth, I can't come back.
Well, I guess, did they help you, I assume, help you modify your exercise based on how far along you were getting?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's coaches there at every class, so they're there to help me through.
Gotcha. I love that. So what are some things that you wanted for your birth experience?
I knew from the start, my goal was to try to do it unmedicated.
Okay.
And try to have a vaginal birth.
Uh-huh.
That was like my main goal.
Of course,
if I had to make some changes here and there, that's fine. But I really wanted that for the most part.
Okay.
I also really wanted to have that golden hour with my baby,
yep,
if all was well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did have other things on my birth wishes, but I think I wanted to just kind of go with the flow, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So
right.
I didn't want to make too many birth wishes, uh-huh, just in case, but
gotcha.
I knew that was my top goal.
Okay. All right. Was there anything at all that you were particularly scared about when it came to giving birth?
I was afraid of being pushed towards a C-section and me not being able to say no.
Okay.
Or like being too scared to say no,
yep,
or like, let me keep trying.
Yep.
So I was afraid of that, hearing all these stories. My sister actually went through that as well, of not really being given an option to keep trying.
Okay.
I was also afraid of tearing.
Yeah.
Which I did.
Okay.
But but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Okay. Well, good.
I think I just was imagining it to be some horrible sensation, but
gotcha,
I didn't even notice it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to hear. All right. So then what was your labor and birth like? Tell us about what happened.
Okay. So I ended up having to get induced.
Okay. Why is
that? At 38 weeks. Uh-huh. I went in for my normal appointment to see my OB, and my blood pressure was coming up high. So they actually had to take it 3 times just to make sure.
Okay.
And it just kept coming up high.
Okay.
So they sent me to labor and delivery, mm-hmm, at the hospital that I delivered at, Stanford Hospital. And they wanted to run more tests just to see how I was doing, how baby was doing.
Right.
And then I had to call my husband, like, oh, so I'm going to labor and delivery,
right,
to have some tests done. Just get the bag ready,
right,
and meet me there just in case. Luckily, he was working from home that day.
Okay.
So he was nearby. And once he got there, they had my results ready. And they said that, I guess, there was protein in my urine.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And my blood pressure was still high.
Okay.
So they contacted my OB, and my OB, they had her on the phone, and she told me, I highly recommend we induce just to prevent any health complications.
Sure.
We don't want you to develop preeclampsia because you have kind of the signs that that's where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And she did tell me, though, that unfortunately she was not going to be working that weekend because,
okay,
this was a Friday when I went in.
Gotcha.
And so I was a little sad that she wouldn't be there.
Right.
But she assured me her colleagues are working that weekend. You should trust them. They're great doctors.
Okay.
So we stayed.
Okay.
Got admitted.
Okay.
So that was on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And the induction process began around 4 p.m. that day.
Okay. What did they start with? Do you remember?
So they hooked me up to an IV.
Uh-huh.
And then they did put the wireless fetal heart,
yeah,
monitor,
uh-huh,
because I told them I wasn't planning to get an epidural and,
right,
I wanted to be able to walk around.
Okay.
And so they did that for me.
Okay.
Then I believe they started off with a Cervidil.
Uh-huh.
To start the process. They didn't want to start me on Pitocin until much later, they said. And then while we were there, we met the doctor that was working that night.
Okay.
And honestly, I wasn't too fond of him.
Mm.
When he came in, he introduced himself. We had our birth wishes.
Right.
So he was looking them over in front of me, and he started asking questions like, well, why do you want this? Or, where did you get these ideas from? These seem so like old school. And I'm thinking, like, why are you making judgmental,
what are you talking about? Right,
comments,
right,
about my birth wishes?
Right.
But okay.
Right.
So he said, okay, well, we'll do our best to follow these wishes.
Right.
And when he left, I looked at my husband and he looked at me, and I'm like, oh gosh, I hope I don't give birth tonight. I don't want him to be the doctor.
Gotcha.
Luckily, he was not my doctor.
Okay. And had you already discussed things with your other, your regular doctor?
Yes.
And she had been fine with things?
Yeah. She was totally fine with everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She didn't have any, the only thing she told me, I remember, about birthing positions.
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh yes, we try to do other different types of positions, whatever's comfortable, but just keep in mind, like, if you do end up getting the epidural, there's some positions we won't be able to do.
Sure.
So she gave me all the scenarios.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Just in case.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that first evening on Friday, it was okay. It wasn't bad. I had mild contractions starting up, but, nothing I couldn't handle.
Okay.
I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
I've read all the books too.
we actually made our son's nursery Harry Potter themed. I'm a big fan. And so right. when we turned on the TV, there was a Harry Potter marathon happening.
Oh, see, it was, there you go.
It was like meant to be. Right. So I remember just like doing all like the birthing ball exercises and watching Harry Potter, just enjoying my time there with my husband.
Yeah,
it was pleasant. It wasn't too bad that first night.
Okay.
That night, though, I think it was like closer to the morning time was when contractions started coming a little stronger. So I didn't sleep much because of it. Mm. And on top of that, the night nurse comes in like every 30 minutes to check on me.
Right.
So
right.
I didn't get much sleep, but I think I got in a couple of hours.
Okay. Okay.
So by the morning, the new doctor had shown up. Mm-hmm. And I was familiar with her because I've had actually heard good things about her from other local moms that actually had her deliver their babies.
Oh, so good.
I thought, oh, great. I know who you are. Right. I've heard about you. and they checked my cervix, but I think I was only at 3 centimeters in the morning when they checked me.
Okay, that's not bad.
In my head, though, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I have so much more to go through still.
Yeah,
it's going to be a while, but it started getting stronger in the morning. I think, when was it? At around 8 a.m. Was when they finally administered the Pitocin.
Okay.
And so this was on Saturday morning. Uh-huh. The new nurses had also come in and introduced themselves, and they were fantastic. One of the nurses was a travel nurse, and she told me that she also was a doula.
Well, there you go.
So I got to have a doula there without having to request one.
Right, right.
So I got lucky.
Okay, okay. Had you considered a doula before?
I did. At the time, while I was pregnant, though, there was still a limit to how many people you can have in the room.
Gotcha.
So I was between having a doula there or having my mom there, and I wasn't sure.
Gotcha.
In the end, we opted not to have one.
Okay. Okay.
And my mom ended up not even being there. My mom was sick the week that I ended up being admitted, so she couldn't come to the hospital.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
But yeah, it ended up working out. I got one there.
Okay. So you had this lovely nurse, and she was also using her doula skills. And so how did things go from there?
So I continued moving around that morning. I remember trying to eat breakfast, but I just could not.
Okay.
Just nothing seemed appetizing.
Gotcha.
I did not want to eat anything at that point.
Okay. But they did offer you food.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They let me order something, and my husband pushed me to order something. He's like, please, at least just get some oatmeal.
Right.
So I think I ordered oatmeal. But I could not. I just took like 2 bites and I just was not hungry.
Okay.
But I continued moving around. I was using the birthing ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that continued for a few hours, I think around noon. Uh-huh. So this was like about 4 hours after they started the Pitocin.
Uh-huh.
I went to use the restroom and I noticed in what looked like the mucus plug.
Okay.
So I paged the nurse and I let them know. I think I just passed the mucus plug, and they told me over their intercom, okay, we'll be there in a few minutes to check on you. So I was still sitting on the birthing ball, and then I felt a pop and release, and then I thought, I think my water just broke.
Uh-huh.
But then the contractions got so much stronger right then and there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at my husband after a few contractions, the nurse hadn't come in yet,
right.
And I told him, oh my goodness, these are so much stronger now.
Right.
And I told him, if they come in and they check my cervix and I'm still not there, I'm going to see if I can get the epidural. I might have to give in.
Okay.
And he looked at me like a little sad because he knew that I initially did not want to get one.
Sure, sure.
So then the nurse came in and they checked me. They did the swab. Uh-huh. They checked my cervix. And then they said, okay, yes, that your water did break and you were at 9.5 centimeters.
Look at that.
And they looked at my husband and said, are you ready? You're about to become a dad.
Right.
And then him and I looked at each other and we started tearing up because we were so happy that we were almost there at the very end to meet our baby.
Right.
Oh, and then we didn't know the baby's gender at this point.
Okay.
So that we were especially excited to find out what we were having.
Sure. Right. Right. So then did that give you that extra oomph to like, I can get to the finish line?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Once they told me that, I thought, okay, I'm there. I can do this. And that's all it was for me. I can handle pain. And that's why I knew going into it, I would be able to do this. It's like, I know I can handle it. I know I'm strong enough. And a lot of it is like a mental game of like telling yourself you can do this.
Sure.
So at that point, my husband had also told me, you can do this. I know you're strong. And so that helped me get there. I think the toughest part, though, was having to hold the baby in because the doctor wasn't in the room yet.
Oh, okay.
So they had paged the doctor, but the doctor was, well, I don't know where she was, but she hadn't arrived yet.
Okay.
So then they told me, okay, don't push, just breathe, just breathe. And I remember I was laying on my back on the bed and I was thinking, like, I need to, like, this is so uncomfortable.
Okay. So you were just feeling the urge to push. Like, it was like, I have to push.
Yes. As soon as my water broke and I checked my cervix, it was like, it I needed to push right after.
Okay. Wow. I wonder, maybe you were just kind of, you know, moving along and then that just really did it.
Yeah. And then so they had me on the bed laying on my back, and I knew in my birth wishes I had put there that I didn't want to labor on my back. Mm-hmm. So when the doctor arrived and started, you know, putting gloves on and everything, she asked them, like, why is she on her back? Can we move her different positions, please?
Okay. I like it. All right.
And so then they had to help me because at that point, you know, I'm not thinking about the position that I'm in. I'm just thinking like this, I need to start pushing soon.
Right.
So they all had helped me. I ended up pushing on my hands and knees.
Okay.
They had me actually the bed upright so I could like rest onto the top of the bed.
Right.
I think it only took me no more than 20 minutes to push.
Okay.
And the baby came out and they held the baby up to my husband and had him tell me, and it took him a minute. He says, looking back, like, I didn't know what to look at. There was just so much going on. So it took him a while to realize what he was looking for. And then he's like, it's a boy.
Oh
my goodness. The tears just started flowing after that.
Right. Oh my goodness. And did you actually, did you give birth on your hands and knees or?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, all right. The entire time.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So it was kind of funny. I was still on my hands and knees when they were trying to hand the baby to me.
Right.
And I was like holding up with one arm, holding myself up with one arm, like, and then trying to hold the baby with the other arm. And I told them, like, I don't think I could hold this much longer. They're like, okay, let's turn her around.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like it was just such a lovely moment.
It was. It was well worth it. Okay. Oh, and Harry Potter was still on the TV. We kept the TV on the whole time without meaning to. We just forgot that it was on.
Right.
So he was born to Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix movie.
All right. There you go. I love
it. We're like, we're gonna tell him that when he's older.
Absolutely.
This is your movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I assume if they did all those things, and I know they did delayed cord clamping and skin-to-skin contact and things like that.
Yes, they did all the things. It was great. I was nervous, of course, with of course, my doctors told me, yes, we can do all these things. But I was worried without her being there that day that whatever doctor was going to be there wasn't going to respect my wishes or they were going to push other things. But no, none of them pushed anything. They were all respectful and I got everything I wanted.
Okay. I love it. And then you said you did have a tear. What was that part like?
Yes. So they said I had a second degree tear.
Okay.
So they stitched me up. Of course, they had to use the numbing spray because I didn't have an epidural.
Yeah.
They had to use that. But they sewed it up and everything else was fine. Nothing, no other issues besides my blood pressure.
Okay.
They did ask to keep me an extra night at the hospital just to monitor my blood pressure.
Got it.
But the baby was healthy. Uh-huh. He was tiny, 5 pounds, 14 ounces.
Okay.
So he was on the tinier side, but they said he looked healthy.
Right.
He did have a little bit of jaundice.
Okay.
But they said, just keep breastfeeding him.
Gotcha.
Because it was January. There wasn't much sun out. So they're like, just keep breastfeeding him and he'll do better. And he did.
Okay. How was breastfeeding?
We got the hang of it pretty quickly. I think I just got lucky that he did very well and he latched on very quickly. But I did still request to speak to a lactation consultant just to get some help in case I wasn't doing it right.
Gotcha.
So they did have me speak to the one there at the hospital. She came in to help me. I think she came twice to help me out. And then I still made an appointment to still see another lactation consultant a couple of days after I left the hospital.
Okay. Did you go see them or did they come to you?
I went to them.
Okay. All right. And you felt like that was helpful also?
Yes. So that consultation, she told me I was pretty much doing everything right. But the only thing was to just be mindful of my hands and wrists because I was like curving my wrist a little too much where it's like, that's going to end up hurting you later.
Gotcha.
So just be mindful of that. It's funny because I ended up having mom hand several months later is what they call it, where your wrist just like kind of locks up and you have pain. Right. So I had to do therapy later because of that.
Gotcha. Did you know that less than 5% of U.S. pregnant women consume the recommended amount of DHA daily, i.e. more than 200 milligrams? Rituals Essential Prenatal meets the requirement with 350 milligrams of vegan omega-3 DHA. This is one of the things that I like about Ritual. It's a science-backed formula that is third-party tested for heavy metals and microbes. Build key nutrient levels to support a healthy pregnancy with Essential Prenatal's vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients, including methylated folate and nature identical choline to support baby's neural tube development, omega-3 DHA for brain and early vision development, as well as vitamin D to support fetal bone health. And Ritual is rigorously tested by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Not only Clean Label Project certified, Essential Prenatal also earned their Purity Award. This is only awarded to products in the top 33% of testing that are leading their category in minimizing consumer exposure to chemicals and contaminants like heavy metals, pesticide residues, and plasticizers. You deserve to know exactly what you're putting into your body, especially when it comes to prenatal multivitamins. And with Ritual's dedication to traceable science and sourcing, you always will. See for yourself with 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women Prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off.
What was the postpartum period like for you in terms of healing and having a new baby? What was that like?
It was, besides not sleeping as much, having to wake up every 2 to 3 hours, it went pretty well. We're grateful that my husband's job gave him paternity leave. He was actually able to split it up. So he did 2 months with me.
Oh.
When the baby was born, and then he saved the other month for right before the baby turned one. So it was around the holidays, so he got to be home for the holidays.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah.
So he was a big help because my husband cooks and cleans.
Okay.
So he took care of all the stuff while I just took care of baby.
Gotcha. I love it. I love it. And then did you have any help from family? You said your mom or?
Yeah, my mom came to help a few times. Mm. She didn't get to come as much because she was sick that first week.
Right. And you didn't want to get anything around the baby yet.
Yeah. So she had to wait a little bit to come and meet her new grandson.
Right.
But yeah, she was a big help.
Okay.
And my sister as well. My sister has one son as well who was 10 months older than my son.
Gotcha.
So they're close in age. Yeah. So she was very helpful too.
Yeah.
I did continue to take prescriptions for blood pressure. I think it was nifedipine.
Yep.
That one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they did have me take that for 30 days. Okay. And I had to go back to my OB's office to have my blood pressure checked just to make sure it was going down and going back to normal.
Got it. And then after that, you got off of the medication and everything was good.
Yes. Okay. Back to normal again after that.
Good. 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 So how do you feel about your birth experience?
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I know not a lot of moms, you know, would agree, but to me, it was a great experience. I just think I got lucky because I didn't have a lot of the other symptoms that most moms get. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it, feeling their little kicks and movements.
Yeah.
Looking at my belly in the mirror.
Right.
Such a beautiful experience. Yeah. I loved it. And I loved giving labor. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Uh-huh. Now having done it without the epidural, I know I can do it again.
Right.
I can do it. Not as bad as they make it seem.
Yeah. And I will say, so it sounds like you mostly used movement to help and position changes. And did you ever get in the shower or anything like that, or tub?
They had a shower. They did not have a tub.
Okay.
But no, I never used the shower.
Okay.
So the only thing, I did was movement. I used the birthing ball a lot.
Okay.
So I kept going from walking around or doing like squat positions.
Mm-hmm.
And just switching between those. And thankfully, the doula kept coming in to check on me and showing me new positions that I could try as well. And I think just switching it up really helped, and not being in the same position the entire time.
Yeah, definitely. So then what is your one favorite piece of advice that you would give to someone who's about to have a baby?
I say listen to other birth stories.
Mm.
So listen to your podcast, because I think listening to both the easy and the tough stories, I think is going to prepare you for any case scenario that could happen.
Right.
I went in knowing, okay, it could go this way, it could go this way, but either way, I'm going to get my baby and it's going to work out.
Gotcha. I love that. So where can women connect with you? You can say nowhere if you're not on social media.
I am on Instagram.
Okay.
If anybody wants to reach out, send me a message. My Instagram is Erica Vernis. So it's just my full name.
Okay.
Spelled exactly E-R-I-C-A-V-E-R-N-I-S.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast. Oh, if you want to mention the doctor specifically, because I do like people to know if there are good doctors, if you want to mention their names, please feel free.
Yes, of course. My OB, she works at Sutter in Dublin. She's Nancy Pham Thomas.
Okay.
And then the doctor that actually delivered my baby was Dr. Laura Silverstein.
Okay.
Both were great doctors.
Awesome.
I would highly recommend them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I so loved hearing your story, and I know everybody else will too.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. It was great to share it.
Great episode. I so enjoyed hearing about her story, and I always love a surprise birth when you don't know the gender. So love it. Now, after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, where I talk about my top takeaways from the conversation, and I have several from my conversation with Erica. Number one, find another doctor if something isn't right. Erica mentioned that her first doctor was on the phone during appointments and things like that, just not showing her the attention that she deserved. So she found another doctor, and there she had much, much clearer communication. So please, if something is telling you that your doctor is not right for you, find another doctor. The sooner you do it, the better. Next up, regular workouts are really important for mental and physical health. And it really doesn't have to even be workouts. Really, I mean just moving your body during pregnancy. We know that moving your body in general is good for our health, and it certainly continues to be helpful for you both physically and mentally during your pregnancy. Erica did Orange Theory, but you don't have to do Orange Theory. You could do yoga, you could do walking, you could ride a stationary bike, anything that works for you. Just regularly moving your body is just really, really important and a good habit to build for overall health and well-being. Okay, next up, I really loved Erica's advice of listening to both good and, we'll say bad in air quotes, because of course no birth is bad, but quote unquote bad birth stories, so you're prepared for whatever may come. Sometimes people only want to listen to quote positive birth stories, and I get that. There's some, you know, thought that if you listen to things that are negative, you don't want to hear those negative stories or be scared by them. But really understanding all of the possible things that can happen during your birth is just a really important part of being prepared. The only thing about birth that is predictable is that it's unpredictable. And you really want to know all of the possible things that can happen and how scenarios unfold so you can deal with whatever comes your way. So listen to all of the birth stories. Of course, another thing that you need to do is childbirth education. I have a great option, the birth preparation course. You can check it out at drnicolerankins.com/enroll and use the code Dr. Nicole to get an additional 10% off. But do listen to all of those good and quote unquote bad birth stories so you are prepared for anything that may come your way. You are not going to manifest negativity by listening to a bad birth story. It's only going to help you be more prepared. And speaking of prepared, Erica was prepared with that lactation consultant just in case postpartum. I love that idea of having someone lined up so you have that resource available just in case. You really need to start preparing for the postpartum period while you're in your third trimester. That's not something that we do very well in the traditional medical system, is helping people start to prepare while they're still pregnant. Because once you have that newborn baby, it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tiring, lots of different things. So you definitely want to have a lactation consultant or someone you know who you can reach out to if need be. A good place to check is with your insurance company to see what options they offer for lactation consultant. It's much better to have that person in place and not need it than the other way around. And then the last thing I want to say is just to comment on all of the constellation of things that made it just so lovely and that are really truly possible in the hospital to help support an unmedicated birth, even in the setting of labor induction. She had wireless monitoring, so she was able to move around, so important to help manage pain, important to help get the baby in a good position for birth. She had a nurse who was incredibly supportive of her having an unmedicated birth. Her nurse also happened to be trained as a doula. But you definitely want a nurse who is comfortable with unmedicated birth. You can certainly ask for a nurse who is supportive of and does well with supporting folks with unmedicated birth who has an interest in it. Not all nurses are. And if you find that you have a nurse who is not, then you can ask to speak to the charge nurse and see if you can get assigned a different nurse who is more supportive of folks having unmedicated birth. The hospital also supported her eating during her labor induction. I don't know why we starve people. Well, I do know why we starve people. It's because of this very small risk of if you need to go under general anesthesia for an emergency C-section, that you may aspirate the contents of your stomach into your lungs, which can be dangerous. That very, very rarely happens. I have not seen it happen in my career, although it is certainly possible. But in the early part of labor, you really need to eat. Like, the uterus is a muscle. Muscles need energy. Energy comes from food. So you need to eat. So it's great that the hospital supported her eating during her labor induction. Once you get into active labor, you're not going to be like as hungry and want to eat. So it's really the early part of labor where you're building up that energy that you're going to want to eat something. And the hospital should support that, especially in lower risk circumstances. And then finally, she gave birth on her hands and knees. This is absolutely 1000% possible in the hospital. It's just that some doctors aren't comfortable with it. It's a shame that we're not trained on it. We're trained on people giving birth on their backs because that allows us more control. It is not necessarily what the patient may want to do. Now, some folks instinctively want to give birth on their back. They actually feel comfortable with it. So it's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with giving birth on your back. What is wrong is that we can't support people who don't want to give birth on their back, whether that's hands and knees, whether that's on your side, whether that's even squatting. So I love that she had that opportunity to give birth on her hands and knees and had the support to do so. All right, so there you have it. Please share this podcast with a friend. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to me right now. And if you listen in Apple Podcast in particular, I'd appreciate it if you leave a review in Apple Podcast. I love to hear what you think about the show. It also helps other women to find the show and helps the show to grow. And do come on over and check out the All About Pregnancy and Birth Inner Circle community on Facebook. I would love to see you there. It's such a great supportive place to be, whether you're pregnant, thinking about getting pregnant, or postpartum. So that's it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.